means love. And so far, we've looked at the objects of God's love. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ is the fairest jewel of heaven, and we're in Him and in God's chosen people. And then last week, we looked at how God's love was demonstrated, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And God demonstrated His love by giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated His love in the work of Jesus Christ. His perfect life, His death on the cross, His sacrifice and giving Himself for us, and then His resurrection from the dead, all were designed to rescue sinners who could not save themselves. There's not a greater demonstration of love in all the world than Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. Today we're going to look at God's love communicated. God is love, and that's plainly declared and manifested in the sending of His own Son to suffer and die in the stead of the objects of His love. Now, sometimes it's very difficult for me to understand how God, who is love, could love someone like me, who is so unlike Him by nature. The reality is, God is an infinite being whose ways are past finding out. How God is holy. There's no spot, no blemish, no sin, no deceit. There's nothing foul about the nature of God. How then can those who are by nature children of wrath? I mean, look at the condition that the Bible describes every man, woman, boy, and girl outside of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Spiritually incapable, unable, dead to God. And it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. A world system that is opposed to God, opposed to the gospel, that hates God's law, and hates the very notion of God Himself. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were by nature, we were so unlike God that He compares us. He says that we were controlled internally by our sinful lusts and led about by the most nefarious, wicked individual in all of creation, the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He calls us children of darkness and disobedience. In one place He told the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and a murderer. And he exposed them for their sin. We were so unlike God. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There is not a positive statement there in those three verses about our natural condition. Dead in sins, following the dictates of the devil, following our lustful ways, without thoughts, good thoughts, obedient thoughts of God. Rather, disobedience. Isn't it amazing how God opens up our eyes? The Bible says we were completely ignorant of spiritual things. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. We were completely ignorant of the gospel, of the way to God in Jesus Christ. We didn't comprehend His grace or His love. So how in the world is it that this magnificent, amazing love and grace, how can we be brought to understand that? How is it communicated to us? How is it brought to our hearts, our minds, our wills, our souls? How can we understand and perceive that God is love, and that He's demonstrated that love through the sacrifice of His Son? Well, that love has to be communicated. Think about this. In order for God's love to be communicated to sinful man, based on what we just read, a radical change has to occur. Because dead men are incapable of receiving God's communication. Deaf men can't hear the message of love. Blind men can't see the demonstration of love. It's impossible for those dead in sins to perceive the glory of the gospel of Christ. So in order for God's love to be understood, God in the person of the Holy Spirit must infuse spiritual life and a spiritual nature within the objects of His love. And that's the only way that we can begin to understand and communicate. God communicates with us, and we with Him, by the power of His Spirit, the truth of His Word. And without that, you wouldn't be saved here today. You wouldn't have any desire to hear the gospel or the Word of God. You wouldn't have the ability to discern what's right according to Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. You see, in order to understand God as love, it takes a complete miracle to open up your eyes, to see what God has done in the person of Christ. And let's face it, most religions today think that they have to earn God's love. That somehow, and this is nearly every religion devised by man, that somehow they've got to find a way to do enough, to say enough, to pray enough, to accomplish things in order to gain and earn God's love and God's favor. And that's a complete lie. This is not earned. It's a gift of immeasurable, eternal worth that only God can give, that only He can accomplish. We don't have what it takes to please God. So God has to do a radical thing, And one of the most religious men, highly respected, Nicodemus, who did not understand the essence of how God communicates His love, he didn't understand it. But Jesus said this to him, John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why? He's blind. He can't. There's no spiritual perception. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time unto his mother's womb and be born? Again, he's just thinking of his natural frame of reference. Jesus is talking about the new birth. Nicodemus is focused on the first birth, physical birth. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's all you had when you came into this world, is a nature, a fleshly, carnal, sinful, Adamic nature that you inherited. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's all you had. And the Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So Jesus is saying, you need to understand the dilemma here. That which is flesh, that's all it'll ever be. Unless something radical is created in you, you can't see or enter in to the kingdom of God. But he gives hope when he says, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about the new birth. New birth, another term for it is regeneration. Being born again. Now, you know how you were born physically. You had nothing to do with it. You really didn't. It was all of your parents and God. There's no such thing as a self-birth. Men need to be born again. God has to give them He has to create in them a new man, a spiritual nature that corresponds with His holy nature. And that's what happens in the new birth. The Holy Spirit creates a spiritual nature. And immediately in the new birth, God gives that sinner that's brought to spiritual life the ability to believe the gospel that's been preached. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So you have the new birth, and I believe simultaneously you have the work of conversion where God, the Spirit, gives the gifts of repentance and faith. And they, in that very moment, they're changed forever. It's all of God. It's His work. Look over at Romans chapter 5. In verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Well, that ought to cheer us today. As unlovable as I was and often am, God shed abroad His love in my heart. And when He gave me the new birth and the gift of faith, it changed me so completely that I went from loving the world and sin to loving God. And it was because of God opening my eyes and my heart and changing my will. And the same is true. If you've been saved, it's just this simple. God changed you so that you can receive His communication of grace. Look over at 1 Corinthians 4. I know that I use these verses a lot, but I think they need to be reemphasized. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," and notice little g, it's Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." 42 years ago, God opened my heart, my eyes, and revealed that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It changes you forever. You'll never be the same person. And it's all because God loved you so much that He wanted you to see His glory. He wanted you to see His grace. He wanted you to experience His love in such a powerful way that it changes you. It changes your mind. It changes the way you live. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to stumble and struggle and have trials and afflictions, because you're still a sinner, a human being. But I'm glad He dwells in me. I'm glad that when I have struggles and trials, and you know, preachers have them too, God is real in the way that He helps His people. He communicates His grace in such a powerful way that He can help you when nobody else can. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. I've been preaching on the sovereignty of God on Wednesday night, and I believe it. I believe that God has a purpose in everything that happens, and that there are no accidents with Him. And I just have to ask Him to give me grace to see it, perceive it, and to know how to help. But God, it's real. And I know it. And I know you've experienced it. Everybody at times has to go through the valleys and the furnaces and the trials and the afflictions of life. But God Almighty can communicate grace in such a powerful way that He can help you. And you know what I've always believed, and I've tried to practice it. I don't want to quit on God. I want to soldier on. I want to press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Because that's what I believe the Bible teaches. I want to live my life because in a way that people see that God does communicate His grace, His power to His people. God communicates His love to His people by giving them life and the capability of understanding His Word. Not just His written Word, but His living Word. Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word was made flesh and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know how God communicates to us? Through His Word. Through the person, the work of Jesus. Jesus is God's revelation. He opens up to you all the treasures of grace and glory and communicates that God loves you with an everlasting love. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the supreme demonstration of His love, God communicates that love by actually taking up residence within the hearts of His people. God dwells in us and continually communicates and expresses His love for us by His Spirit who dwells in us. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord's in you of a truth. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. We'll go back to our original. That was not all an introduction, by the way. I know I've been starting out with 1 John 4, so I don't want to scare anybody. We're almost done. But look at this in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. The third person of the sacred Holy Trinity. Yes, I believe that God is one. God the Holy Spirit, or God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. They demonstrate their love by their offices and their work. And the Spirit's work is to regenerate. The Spirit's work is to give spiritual understanding and gifts. The Spirit's work is to indwell and empower and illuminate the Word of God to God's people. God has everything covered. His love is perfect. nothing is wanting. And it says here, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Boy, that ought to comfort our hearts. Jesus promised, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send my Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to communicate and open up the glory of God to your mind. In your heart. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. This teaching that God communicates his love to people who were blind, deaf, without understanding, dead in sins, openly hostile, enmity, and declared enemies of his law. He changes all of that and communicates to us his love for us. And every day he testifies by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that he loves us for all eternity, because the Spirit, he's the earnest of the Spirit, guaranteeing the safety of the purchased possession. God is love. And he communicates that love. I at times am not great at communicating love, but I think one of the greatest ways is just being sacrificial like Jesus. Giving of yourself. And next week, I think I'm going to try to finish this. I got one more point. And that is this love that's been demonstrated and communicated and imparted to us needs to be reciprocated. Meaning that there should be a response by us to this love. And so next week, hopefully, will be the concluding sermon, unless I get a little wound up. I hope you know the love of God. Because I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. To know that God loves you. And that Christ died for you. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let's all stand.